right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire podcast, football edition. Most of these are going to be football. MWR.com, you know where to find us, Facebook, Twitter, all the same stuff. Jeremy Moss here with Matt Kennerly. This particular episode is not a season preview show. We are talking actual news because it's new season. Camp is here, media day passed, and we're, what are we, Matt? What is this? Because this is going to post actually this Sunday, August 5th. 21 days till football starts?
CSU? That would be 20.
Oh, 20. Oh, my. Less than 3 weeks.
You can almost count it on your hands and toes. Well, actually, you can count it on your hands and toes.
Most people, right?
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope you're able to. Sorry, that was kind of rude. But yeah, 20 days away. So we're going to start mixing in these actual news podcasts with our season previews. Matt, you're doing some camp roundup because we can't write articles on everything, even though we'd like to. It can be tough. So check us out in the evening. And I promise, this is not a fake promise like before. Newsletter in the morning is going to come out with other news that's not, maybe not camp related, but just other random Mountain West tangential stuff. Like Brian Urlacher had a great speech at the Hall of Fame over the weekend. That's pretty cool. That might be in there. Stuff like that. So, Aaron, hey, Matt, should I put some Aaron Judge links in there for you? Is that going to be help you out?
Well, I mean, you got to give the people what they want, and the people like dingers.
Of course they do. As Mark McGwire always said, or Homer Simpson in the episode, give them some dingers. All right, so we're going to talk, like I said, media day, new stuff. Yeah, media day is a week ago, but that's not a big deal. We want some more info to you guys. So where should we start, Matt? You suggested we should just compare how great our preseason stuff to the media, right?
Well, I think what's most interesting, if you go back and look at how our staff voted for, you know, the first team Mountain West, you know, all-conference team, and how the wider, you know, media ended up doing the same exercise, you know, by and large, it was mostly the same. And I think what was interesting is seeing like the big differences between the two. And one of the big, probably the biggest one of them that we heard a lot about, especially from Boise State fans, was, you know, the conversation around who is better going into 2018, Alexander Mattison or Juwan Washington. Because as a staff, and, you know, I went back and I looked at how you and I voted individually. You and I both had Juwan Washington on our first team and Mattison as a second team. The media, however, had it the other way around. Or rather, they didn't actually do a second team. They had Mattison on their all-conference team. So I think that that's a worthwhile starting point because, you know, this is a conversation that we're probably going to hear about a lot, you know, through non-conference play, you know, until these two teams face off with each other in the middle of the year and probably even afterwards. You know, ooh, who is more deserving tipping of that
hand,
spot?
You're tipping your hand there, Matt. We haven't talked about the Aztecs yet.
That's true.
But no, it's right. That was it. Like, running back is deep. It's not just those two guys. Like, there's other, like Izzy Matthews. He's a really good running back. Here's the reason I made my pick the way I did. Track record's a big deal. San Diego State's had, first time, never been done, two back-to-back 2,000-yard rushers. Last year, they did it with basically a brand-new offensive line with Rashard Penny, who went on to be the first-round pick with the Seahawks. That line is what, four, is it four of the five starters back, or is it all five starters back?
I believe it's all five starters, yeah.
And Juwan Washington, he's been playing for 3 years. Like, he was the third string with Donald Pumphrey and Penny, and still put up, I think, five or six touchdowns, had a good yards average per touch, yards per carry, I should say. And then even last year, in the past year, so with, you got to go by track record. It's like, okay, should we pick a Boise quarterback just because? Well, they're good, but also they're known to do well. But it's not just the player itself. Yes, Mattison looked great. He had the ankle injury last year, and you remember he hurt himself also in that, was it Cactus Bowl last year as well, left the game, and that was out for a little while. But I went with Washington because look what the Aztecs have done for the years past. It's hard to ignore that with a great offensive line back. We know they're going to run a ton, even though Chapman's back for another year could break records for most winningest QB ever in San Diego State history. But we know they're going to run the ball a lot. For Boise State, they're going to run and pass because they'll throw to guys out there from Brent Rippon to whomever. He's going to put up a lot of numbers. So for me, it's kind of maybe takes away a little bit for what Mattison can do. I just go with, like, look what the Aztecs have done. They've had the best running back each of the past 2 years and the best, one of the best running attacks in the country the past couple years. And so that was my pick. Like, I'm basically going by numbers to why I went that way. And so that's why I did not put Mattison number one.
We probably should have prefaced this whole thing by saying it wouldn't surprise us to see, you know, Mattison and Washington on the first team, all conference team at the end of the year. But you know, I'll take your point a little bit further and say, you know, track record matters. And if you dig into Washington's production, you have to kind of look at what he's done over the last 2 years, you know, because obviously Madison had the full year as a starter as the number one guy for Boise. And he did have 1,086 yards last year. He had 12 touchdowns, and he contributed a little bit as a receiver too. And that's all well and good. But if you go back and look at what Washington has done in the last couple of years, you know, between 2016 and 2017, he had 1,200 yards rushing. And he did it in fewer carries than Madison did last year. He had 55 carries in 2016, 127 carries last year. That's an average of 6.6 yards per carry.
That's good. That's really good.
That's a full yard and a half better than what Madison averaged last year.
That's also more than Lexington Thomas got this past year.
And so I think that with a larger workload, you know, I think you're right. With the experience that they have coming back on the offensive line for San Diego State, you know, I mean, I don't want to say he's a shoo-in for 2,000 yards, but the way that they've run the ball the last few years, it shouldn't really surprise anybody if he does do that much. The big question I have is whether they'll need him to run for that many yards, just because, you know, they've got three or four three-star guys in the running game who could potentially step up. We'll talk about that more in the Aztecs podcast to come. You know, but he may not necessarily need to have the same kind of workload that Penny and before him Donnell Pumphrey had. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he that they won't, because of course Pumphrey was a guy who was had a similar stature. You know, he was a small guy. They gave him 300 carries in 2015. So I don't think that they're necessarily going to do that again. But, you know, it wouldn't shock me. I wouldn't say that there's a non-zero chance that they do it.
Well, true, but then also I'm looking at, like, we're not gonna dive too deep because the Aztec show come up soon, but Penny averaged 22 carries last year per game. Like, he had five games where I know people could point to the Fresno Boise game where he didn't do all that well, which is fine, but versus Army, he touched the ball 14 times with 200 plus yards, 221. So they had six games with 200 yards. Now, I don't know if Washington will do that. Like you mentioned, 2,000 yards is ridiculous, and back to backs never been done three times will probably never be broken, you know, by anywhere in the country, and at least not anytime soon. But why would they go away from something that's so successful? Like, I don't, again, Aztec show later, but do you expect Christian Chapman to throw for like 3,000 yards and like complete 70% of his passes? No, he's fine. He does a good job, but he's not going to be. Aztecs aren't going to turn into some team that's going to throw 60, 75% of the time. And so why go from what's broken? So that's kind of our point, why Washington, he hasn't proven it, but it's more potential than actuality.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, everybody points to, like you said, Penny coming up a little bit short against both Fresno and Boise last year. But I mean, there were instances where his production was maybe a little quieter than people might have expected. Like, you know, and some of it is situations where they didn't necessarily need him to have a big game. You know, they won big against Air Force, for instance, and he only had 42 yards rushing on 17 carries. You know, in the conference championship game, he had 50 yards on 14 carries.
Well, so got hurt and left that game. Or no, that was the other. Or was it the title? No, it was a title game. He left. That's right. Was.
And so, you know, some of that comes down to, like, you know, the need to rely on him, because obviously when they needed him to have a big game last year, he answered the bell more than once, which that I think is one of those things that, you know, Madison has on Washington is, you know, this proven production to kind of come up big when it matters. You know, look no further than the Colorado State game.
But again, like, here's a couple of things. Like, we could argue back and forth about different ways, but like versus Nevada, like you say, oh, Penny did bad against the two best defenses he faced all year, did terrible. Madison had 64 yards versus a terrible Wolfpack defense. He had 11. I know Virginia game was different. He wasn't fully healthy, but he had like yes, he had 91 versus Wyoming. That's good, but 42 yards versus a terrible Air Force defense. Yeah, they won big, and I don't remember how many snaps he played, but still he. 17 carries for 40 yards. Like, there's games, like, every game Penny was given the ball 15 tw or 22 times, not 15, but every time he did it, he made opportunities. Didn't matter who he played. And so when you're getting only, like I said, 60 yards versus Nevada, 40 versus Air Force, hey, Fresno, he only had 63 yards. He had 50 in the title game. And so He only averaged like 3.5 yards per carry, or almost 4, 3.5 yards per carry against Fresno. So you can't point and say, aha, Penny did terrible in those two games, when you look at a healthy Madison where he can't put up barely crossed 100 yards against Air Force in Nevada.
Now watch, they're both probably going to run for like 1,500 yeah. yards and 18 touchdowns probably. And make this whole conversation moot.
But my point is, you can't point to Penny having two bad games last year, then you can't look at Madison where, when he was healthy, he wasn't doing all that good.
But so maybe too long didn't listen. there is no wrong answer in this argument.
Player's choice.
Fan's choice,
whatever you want to go with. So, and as for Thomas, Lexington Thomas, we'll see. Because real quick, our guy Keith put a piece up. Armani Rogers predicted a bowl game, so there's that.
That's true.
Any other players? You wanted to mention Damian Baber being on the kind of the other difference for DB compared to what we had on first team.
That one did surprise me. And, you know, I wondered if most of it had to do with the fact that when we put our staff vote together, you know, if you've gone and looked at it, you'll know this already. But if you haven't, I would encourage you to do it. Because the media tends to do things very general, like they ask for 4 defensive backs, whereas we asked for 2 cornerbacks and 2 safeties. And what the media ended up with was, you know, they had Tariq Thompson, they had Andrew Wingard, they had Tyler Horton. But Baber surprised me, if only because a lot of his production came in one game last year. It was that San Jose State game where he had, you know, 3 interceptions. And so that surprised me a little bit, because I thought that, you know, Kakoa Nawahini, who we've heard a lot of Boise State fans clamoring that, you know, among other all-conference lists out there, he wasn't getting nearly enough respect. And I think that if you go back and look at what he did last year, look at his production, I think that I would tend to agree. Like, you know, maybe he doesn't, you know, show up in the highlight reels week in and week out, but he was a very integral part of a very young Broncos secondary last year. And, you know, his spot is secure. We know he's going to go out there. He's probably going to rack up 100 tackles again. And, you know, with a handful of interceptions, pass breakups, and tackles for loss, probably that you're going to be able to look forward to. To me, that seemed like a very easy choice that, you know, in my opinion, at least as an individual, I think the media maybe overlooked that one.
I'm wondering if they went back, because remember, he was a freshman All-American back for, speaking of Baber there, sorry, kind of the go back and forth, maybe why he was there, because he had a great freshman year and he hasn't really, like, he's been fine and been good, but he hasn't been great at all after that first year. Like, interceptions have been okay. He had 6 in 2016. But, like, when you look at everything overall, it's like he hasn't really gotten significantly better year in and year out. So I wonder if they're going off, well, he had that one, oh, he had 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, great, but like I said, San Jose State one game. Like, his TFLs, any significant number you look at, were basically worse in 2017 than 2016.
Well, and one of the things that, you know, we talked about a little bit on Twitter, but I think it's worth mentioning here on the podcast, safety is loaded in the Mountain West. If you take a step back and look at it, you know, there were Wyoming fans who were saying, well, what happened to Marcus Epps? You know, Marcus Epps, you know, he got a few votes and I think he barely made it onto the third team that we put together. But, you know, he's a very good safety. Parker Baldwin's a very good safety. Let's not even, we talked about Nawahini. Let's not forget DeAndre Pierce is also a very good safety. And, you know, Baber is a pretty good safety, yes. But with the Sony Rufus coming back for the Wolfpack, he might not even be the best safety on his own team when 2018 is said and done. And so maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, I don't know how, I don't know if there's one way to explain it away, but, you know, there's maybe 10 guys who are deserving of, you know, an all-conference recognition who happen to play, you know, the 2 spots on the field where there's a lot more talent than, I don't know, anywhere else.
Well, look at
the Mountain West.
Look at our top 50. It's like, it's loaded with defensive backs and safeties.
Yes.
Like, it's not just all running back, quarterback. It's like, I don't know that all here, but there's like plenty of guys. I think you broke it down. Oh, no, maybe not. But there's plenty of defensive backs. Like, maybe, well, Tyler Horton hadn't even gotten to him yet. He's up pretty high. But we'll have, like, Horton. We'll have, let's see here, Avery Williams, there's plenty of you guys. I can't scroll here. My computer's being weird, but like Juju Hughes, you have Damian Baber made our list. Like he was he? We already did Babers. What 29th on our? Or no, that's my individual list. But I had him like top 30. Maybe that's a bit high. But you have plenty of guys. Jericho Flowers at UNLV, who's number 50 on the list. There's Mike Bell. It's like there's plenty of guys in that position. So don't. I know the recognition is great for your team. Where's this guy? Where's Wingard? Where's Maps? Like you said, all these other guys. But it's super deep, and so there can be a guy who doesn't make the first, second team, or maybe even honorable mention, hard to do, but like postseason come around, who might not be a first or second team guy, but still get like drafted in the NFL or lots of the team whenever he goes.
You mean like Josh Allen?
What do you mean? Oh yeah, Josh Allen. There you go. Perfect example. Top 10 pick. Perfect. But don't get caught up too much in this. There's reasons why, but Baber is a kind of a head scratcher. The running back, I could clearly make an argument for any of those guys. But Baber, it's like, come on, really?
Yeah, and there was a similar kind of situation at linebacker as well, where we had put Malik Reed, Jeffrey Allison, and Logan Wilson
Excuse me,
on
turnover machine, Logan Wilson.
turnover mission. Yes, that's true. And the big difference between our vote and the media's vote was Jelani Tavai. And so, my question for you is, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at who you voted for.
Can't do that. I don't have that in front
Okay,
of me.
so
So.
you actually had the same three that our staff as a whole voted for: Reed, Allison, Logan Wilson. But do you think that our staff got it right? Do you, by putting Wilson ahead of Tavai?
They're both really good. I think part of it, because if you look at Devay, he was two-time All Mountain West first team, right?
I believe he was a second team
I'm
last
looking
year.
at the asterisks. I'm trying to pull it up here on the actual website there for the Mountain West because I screenshotted the voting they did, but it has like two asterisks. I'm looking to see, but it's another close one. Wilson, here's the thing: Wilson, he makes more plays, like he scores points, he forces turnovers, and it could be a couple things. Possibility is that when you play in a really good defense, and your team, even though Wyoming wasn't that great last year, they still. He did very well on a crowded defense. Whereas with Hawaii, they were not good, kind of hard to watch them a little bit, and their defenses gave up so many points. I wonder if that had something to do with it on our end. I don't know, because you know what I mean? Like, if you play in a crowded team and you still stand out, that's a big deal, right? That's kind of where I go with it.
I mean, I think that that's a fair argument. I would make the case that, of those three situations that we just talked about, I feel like at the end of 2018, Tavai is the one guy who might make us look silly for overlooking him,
He could be.
for putting him on the second team rather than the first team, is
Well,
all I'm saying.
how did you vote?
Oh, I voted for Wilson and Tavai.
Okay. Did you leave out Allison? I know you kept him in there, right?
No, I had Reed, Tavai, and Logan Wilson as my first team linebackers.
Again, it's like splitting hairs. There's a lot of good linebackers in the conference. And
That's true.
so it's like, well, is it really that bad? But Tavai, he's been there a while too, but so is Wilson. Now he's gonna be a junior. I'm fine with it. It's not. He could make. Okay, if he has like a Frank Ginda like year, yeah, it will look stupid. If he has like 150 tackles or something. But part of the reason he may put up big numbers is Hawaii's defense isn't good. They're going to be on the field a lot. And so I just remember the thing last year where Rashard Penny was carrying him down the field while Tavai was trying to tackle him. He couldn't tackle him. And so I'm not saying that was a decision maker, but I had a tough choice. I was debating between like a couple of those guys, like put it Tavai. I'm like, crap, I don't have him. Do I need to take out Malik Reed? Because Malik Reed is changing positions as well, so maybe he shouldn't be on the first team because he's playing a new spot this year.
I just thought it was worth bringing up because I thought it was an interesting disparity.
If I were to take a guy out, like I'd probably take out Reed out just because he's now a linebacker and he wasn't last year.
I mean, all these guys are going to be really good.
Yeah.
Just to put that out there again.
Yeah. And we did a three team, and so we're better than the first team, so you guys can suck it. We did better. I don't know what to say. Again, well, two things. It does, well, not just be kind of snarky, but if you go three teams deep, it gives a bigger picture of where guys are at. If you do a first team, it's like, well, how close were you to being? Not that we give out our vote numbers, but I'm just saying three teams gives it more perspective a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, how surprised were you the order finished that Fresno dominated San Diego State?
You were talking about the media's
Media
vote,
poll, not
right?
our poll, the media poll, yeah.
That was a little surprising.
Because if not for one person who put UNLV second, we would have had a tie in our voting. because they split first place votes.
So if that had happened, how would we have determined who we would put at the top?
Co-number ones.
Coin flip?
No, co-number ones. There's no games we played. I'd just say they tied for number one.
Oh, okay, that makes
Well, it's
sense.
like any other voting. But number one. Yeah. But that was, I was surprised it was 16-6 because they both bring back a ton of talent. I guess the big thing of they it could go back to why Juwan Washington wasn't the starting running back on the all-conference team from the guys who voted in Vegas. Maybe that's the big question, which it is, but I just thought it'd be closer. Like I think I put Fresno State because of what they have coming back. And because McMarion, I think the quarterback, he'll have a bigger year than last year once he actually can learn everything and not have to go on the fly for the whole season after like 3 weeks of hanging out in Fresno from coming over from Corvallis. But that was the biggest surprise for me, I think, in the disparity of the voting between them and us on that part.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like at a minimum, I think what they have in common with our own vote is that there's definitely a tier of like the top two teams in the West, and then maybe the next two teams in the West. You have Fresno State, San Diego State, and then right behind them, you have UNLV and Nevada, which is pretty much how we had it as well.
Yeah, those were. I am surprised San Jose State was so far behind Hawaii.
Yeah, that's I would agree with that.
Because I don't know, maybe because I guess you got perception. Spartans were terrible last year, and Hawaii was. They can move the ball a bit, but again, they new quarterback. They lose their starting running back. They do have John Ursua, lost Dylan Colley, who transferred their number two wideout. I put Hawaii last in our poll, but the difference there. But there's tears, but. It's fine. Like UNLV third. Like I'm higher on Nevada, more so dark horse. I don't think I put Nevada third in our poll, but they're close as it is. I think Nevada will win a lot of shootouts, or lose a lot of shootouts. It'll be like a lot of 45-40 games either way. Like the end of last year versus CSU and Air Force. But Mountain Division side, how is Wyoming a clear number two by the media? Can you explain that to me, Matt?
I'm going to try.
Good. Go for it. I want to hear your explanation. It's tough.
I think there's an argument to be made, which is kind of the argument that we made when we talked Wyoming in their preview podcast. The offense was so rough around the edges last year that there's probably going to be, regression to the mean almost by default, which is to say there's going to be some level of improvement. And yeah, they're still trying to work out the running back situation. Trey Woods is out for the year, and Milo Hall transferred. So they have Kellen Overstreet and question marks everywhere beyond that. The receivers are probably going to be a little better almost by default. Their catch rates are probably going to improve at least a little bit. And, I don't think we need to say any more about the defense that hasn't already been said. The defense is going to keep them in a lot of games this year, even when the offense scuffles.
Yeah,
So I
but
think
what's it going to be like
that I
3-0 victories, 10-6?
mean, I think you're probably looking at a lot of 17 to 14 games, 16 to 13 games, a lot of games like the Bronze Boot last year, though maybe without the snow.
No, more snow, please. More snow.
But I think it's interesting because the biggest disparity, I think, and I could be wrong about this, you could correct me on it, but it seems like our staff, at least, is a little more optimistic about Colorado State than the media as a whole.
I'm not one of those people, so
That's true.
I think I put them fifth, I believe, I want to say. I don't recall, but it's how can you beat Colorado State? They have a new quarterback. They lose their top receiver who got picked in the NFL draft. Their defense is terrible. They have two new coordinators. Where's the optimistic for Colorado State?
I mean, for me, I think it's the offense because, yeah, they are losing, an all-conference quarterback. They're losing an all-conference wide receiver. But, yeah, and we'll talk about this more in a little bit. I think I'm a little more optimistic about their returning wide receivers than, I don't know, pretty much anybody out there who's not a Colorado State fan.
Well, they got the guy from Tennessee coming in. They have who's not suspended anymore. Is it Preston
Preston
Williams?
Williams.
Yeah, I was gonna say Wilson. He's there. Obasi Johnson is gonna be a good deep threat. So there's stuff to be optimistic about. But whenever bring transfers in, it's not always a sure thing they're gonna step in and be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's true. I also think that it helps that they have enough pieces coming back with the change to a 4-3 that, you know, you can feel good about their chances to improve at least a little bit on that side of the
Yeah,
ball.
that's what we said in the Rams preview podcast. I just put in number two. Like, I think I put Utah State too. I think, but again, I'm not confident in like any team. Like, I can any team in the Mountain Division has flaws outside of really Boise State because the Rams, as we just mentioned, rewind and listen again. But the quarterback defense hasn't been great. Should be better. New OCs, new DC. Utah State. It's they've been losing those close games in the past 2 seasons. I think there was it 1-12, 1-13 in one possession games. You got Wyoming, whose offense, while it's basically very difficult to be worse than last year, I don't see how much better they could be if that'll be helpful. And then Air Force, like Air Force is Air Force. Their defense isn't going to be great, and they'll just run the ball over everybody. And New Mexico has issues with everything, not just football, but defense is just awful. Offense should be a little tricky, but they have a new OC as well with them, so. There's too many questions, but I guess Utah State would be my pick. But I guess the Rams, maybe it is the offense because people are the running game. That's why you want to be confident with Rams. Izzy Matthews, Dalen Dawkins, but Rashard Bodie, I think he's still suspended from practice at the moment, so that's not good.
Well, actually, I think he just came back the other day.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. But he hasn't been practicing, so that's not helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that's a big of a deal, but you alluded to Utah State, and that might be the other kind of big story from these projected finishes. Because we've heard a lot from Aggies fans saying that they're being disrespected, you know, because the media picked them to finish fourth in the division, you know, we picked them to finish third in the division.
And roll homers apparently too, so.
So, how much of an argument do you think that they have?
I would say this, during year two of the offense with David Yost, we've seen flashes of them moving the ball well on offense. Jordan Love's the guy because there's no Kent Myers to mess around and switch quarterbacks. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic, but again, for me, prove it to me because their running game has just been dreadful despite getting the players drafted by the Packers. What's his name?
Nick Vigil.
No, not Nick Vigil, running back. Oh shoot, Devon. Oh crap.
Devontae Mays.
Yeah, Devonta May. I was like, wait, that's that. That doesn't sound right. But, like he gets drafted, but he did nothing at Utah State. He's hurt, and so the offense should be better because of year two of wanting to pass a lot. They have one quarterback in place. They don't have a running game to speak of until they show me. Defense is getting a bit better because they have a lot of guys coming back. But for me, it's like last year I had no idea what to put them. This year I put them two kind of by default, but because of those optimistic tendencies I mentioned, but. They need to prove it to me they can win a game like 20-17 and not have to either blow a big lead like or the UNLV game where they had to come from behind to get back in the game. They need to, for me, to be more consistent, so I want to see it before I can say anything despite me putting them second. There's reasons to be there, but show me. That's what they got to do this year before I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair point. I think one thing that Utah State has going for them, and we talked about this more at length in their preview podcast, the schedule does do them quite a bit of favors. It enables them to kind of build up momentum where, you know, even if their opener at Michigan State ends up being pretty rough, you know, they've got a chance to put together a very long winning streak if they can get things together, you know, sooner rather than later. And, you know, we don't necessarily know that they're going to have, you know, one guy or if it's going to be a committee. Because last I checked, at running back, that is. Because last I checked, you know, there is an or between Gerald Bright or Darwin Thompson. But, you know, I like the talent that they have coming back. And I think it helps that they have a lot of experience coming back on both sides of the ball. So, you know, even though they ended up third overall, even though, you know, in my projected order of finish, I also had them third, I don't think it's going to take that much to push them farther. But it's those last two games at Colorado State, at Boise State, that I think is going to tell the story of their season when all is said and done.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I put in our, I did early bowl predictions with the USA Today poll coming out. I think I put them again in Hawaii, the Hawaii Bowl. So it's probably 7 wins. So are you fine with that playing Southern Miss out in the, I think I put Southern Miss, but are you fine with that? That seems about, because that's probably the fourth bowl game essentially for the Mountain West.
I don't think they would complain.
I'll go to Hawaii for Christmas Eve, right? Or no, it's not on Christmas Eve anymore. It got moved, didn't it?
It's a few days sooner. Yeah.
Interesting. Here's what I'm actually finding here so I can be accurate. I put them in the – and, of course, somehow I have 8 bowl teams. That's not going to happen, but I did. yeah, Utah State versus Southern Miss. So have fun. December 22nd. There you go. I think going to any bowl game is good for them. Well, they went last year, but a step up from the Arizona Bowl is fine, and that's what the Hawaii Bowl is. So,
for sure.
So one other media day thing I want to talk about. I have a few more here. Should we got I think two things. Should we talk? Oh, three things actually. On my part, should we talk about the silence? Should we talk about running through the conference or expansion talk? You get to pick.
Let's go in order.
Okay, so the silence. So I put a post out there because I was watching media days, and if you know, there's this thing called the American Power Six, which is a joke. However, they're leaning in as hard as you can for that type of thing. So there's a question. Do you know who asked the question?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I'm not sure either. But the question basically was, what can the Mountain West do to promote its league better? Essentially, that's the gist of the question. I counted it. There was literally a 7-second pause. It was open to the group. So it wasn't to like, hey. And this was toward the Mountain coaches, I should mention it as well. So Bob Davey, Mike Bobo, Matt Wells, Brian Harsin, Craig Bull, and Troy Calhoun. The Mountain coach is there.
Yes.
And I was making sure I got them all right. That's why I was like, wait, do I have them all? I should know
everything. No, you got them. Yeah.
But so the question was to the group. So for there to be a short of a pause makes sense because it's for the group. Seriously, 7 seconds of dead silence. Bob Davey comes in, mumbles, jumbles, blah, blah, blah. We just got to take care of our games. His answer ends up being okay at the end. First of all, why is Bob Davey answering the question? Why should he? Whatever. He jumped in. But how hard would it have been to say, I know you got Brian Harsin. It's like, we are. It's like, it's basically a jab, not a jab, but how are you going to promote yourself like the American Conference? They could have said a number of things, like even the lame old Craig Thompson. Well, we had the first BCS buster, first playoff, and New Year's Six game where we've only lost one game in those big time bowl games. We've done this, this, and this. How hard would it be to say it's like, well, if we go undefeated, we're going to be the best conference because our team's going to get that bowl game. It's like there's a lot of small things they could have said. They didn't have to go out and say the Americans' promotion of doing their P6 thing is ridiculous. It's a joke. They could have just said we've give out a few numbers or heck, if we they could have just jumped in right away. Have we gone 12-0? We're going to be the best conference because we have the best team of this group of five. They could have said a lot of small things without like directly smacking around the other peers.
They could have mentioned the need for a snappy hashtag.
Yeah, there could have been, like, am I wrong to say they basically fumbled that answer to the worst possible way?
I mean, I think so. If only because, you know, and this relates to one of the other things that came up at Media Days, you know, the idea that, you know, you're fighting for exposure simply by virtue of the fact that a lot of games are being played at night when voters may not be watching these games. And so, you know, I think you have to put yourself out there a little bit, you know, especially if you're, you know, if you're like a Boise or...
Well, not even Boise. It's more for like Colorado State or New Mexico or Hawaii. What if they have a great year? Mm-hmm. Boise State gets it no matter what. They'll be fine. People know them. But are people really going to give respect to... Let's say Utah State has an amazing year. They end up going like 11-1. You know what I mean? Like they win the conference. Are they going to get the benefit out if they have one loss compared to, say... Let's just say Troy out there. Troy only loses to – not Troy, but Florida Atlantic, who people like. What if they only lose to Oklahoma? Are they going to pick Utah State over – you know what I mean, Florida Atlantic? If they're both one loss and that one loss is to, I don't know, whoever Utah State – you know what I mean? Like, it's – Boise State's fine, but it's the other schools. Like, if they go undefeated, like, even Fresno, it's like they'll be tough a little bit to get in there. But if some team that doesn't care about anybody in the national, like New Mexico or – San Jose State, not that they will, but you get my point. What if Nevada offense scores 80 points a game? Like, are they going to get this benefit of the doubt when they're playing at 9 Pacific or something, 8 Pacific? Those are the teams that need to help, but there's a million ways they could have answered without sounding foolish.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you're right about that.
I saw other people like, well, we don't need to do it, but do it because the Americans they're out there. And if you notice, like, you look at various websites, they're like, oh, here's our top 10 or whatever they break down each conference. I'm starting to notice more and more, which it's probably because of what they're doing and maybe because UCF was really good last year, Houston year before, but they're including American in like their ranking, like position breakdowns and stuff, and they're not, or even conference previews.
Well, let's put it this way. If you as a conference are not willing to put yourselves out there and sell the conference, sell your best performing teams a little bit year in and year out, that's how you end up with things like Texas being ranked ahead of Boise State in the coaches poll. Texas, who, by the way, hasn't won fewer than four games in a decade.
Or go back even further, Mac Brown getting into nod over Cal with, I think Tedford was there in Cal those that year.
Yeah, I think that was 2004.
Yeah, when Utah made the BCS and stuff. So, but yeah, it's like you got to do something. Don't be obnoxious. I think the Americans being a bit obnoxious with it, but they're going with it. It's like do something like. There's like I put over at the guy's MWC board like, hey, here's something I wrote about. What do you think? They're like, well, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna say about sounding like a fool? But I think the American sounds like a fool, but it's working for them. And
Well,
so,
to be determined. Let's put it that way.
well, but I mean, when you look at the Sporting News or USA Today or various websites, and they're including the American and with the other power conferences for breakdowns or previews, that's a little bit of something, right? I'm just saying a little bit. I hear you, but also I always tell them, get back to me when you make 20 million a year, then you can talk, right?
That's true.
And which they're not even close to that. And so I don't need to beat this too much, but it's like do something, say something. They're too reactionary. Are they afraid of hurting people's feelings? Like what would the harm have been of Brian Harsin saying something along the lines of, well, heck, we've been to X amount of bowl games as a, when I was a player as a coach. Our league, right? Like they could have been born and said, look at how many big time bowl games we've been to within the conference in the past decade. We're up there. We've had this many. Look at the first round draft picks. He could have mentioned Leighton Vander Esch getting picked. You know what I mean? There's a couple of things that even school specific could have used to promote the conference. Say, here's why we're better, or not even better than league. Here's why we should. Here's why we're proud of our league. Like you don't even have to
Yeah,
compare it.
and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like I almost wonder, is the Mountain West facing more Power Five teams than the American? Like, are they doing things like as a conference where they're putting themselves out there, taking chances to be that one team? Is anybody in the American, for instance, doing what Boise State is doing and facing zero FCS teams? Because let's not forget, they're Troy, UConn, Oklahoma State, BYU.
Yeah.
Like, is anybody in the American doing that you know
Yeah.
of off the top of your head?
No, I'm looking at Cincinnati's schedule. They do go to UCLA, but then they play Miami, Ohio, Alabama, A&M, and Ohio. I do know Central Florida has who is it? Oklahoma. Oh no, sorry, I'm thinking Florida Atlantic. I'm sorry, Central Florida plays Florida Atlantic. They play Air Force. It's okay, but. Remember last year you mentioned their best win was arguably Stony Brook, right? For UCF before they beat
Or
Auburn? Or
USF.
USF, sorry. Whatever, they're the same, right?
Don't let them get you t saying that.
I'm just saying, like looking at like UCF schedule really quick, they have like South Carolina State, Florida Atlantic, Pittsburgh, and North Carolina. That's not too bad.
I said back in the spring that UCF's going to lose to Florida Atlantic. You heard it here first.
Mark it down, folks. Is that in Boca Raton at the Owl's Nest?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I don't have that schedule in front of me.
I had it here 2 seconds ago. No, it's at home. So, yeah, here's the thing, too. They play three home non-conference games. They host Pitt, they host Florida Atlantic, and South Carolina State.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to take that much to really kind of push the conversation forward for the Mountain West. I think of it as, coming up with a spin that puts forth a united front. And I'm thinking like, if you're familiar with Fresno State's old refrain from the Pat Hill era, anyone, anytime, anywhere, just finding a way to kind of modify that message because the best teams in the conference have been willing to put themselves out
Well, look
there.
at Fresno. We joked about Fresno a little bit, but they're going to win at UCLA. They're going to win at Minnesota. That three, six, what is it, 6-for-9 UCLA USC games. They may win a bunch of those games.
San Diego having the home and home with Stanford.
Arizona State.
Even the up and comers like UNLV going to USC or Nevada going to Vanderbilt, going to Toledo, putting themselves out there, facing good teams, just being able to come up with a united message that kind of stresses that.
Memphis's non-conference schedule. Mercer at home. Georgia State at home. South Alabama at home at Missouri.
Nah, I'm not impressed.
I'm gonna say Mercer FCS. Isn't Georgia State what 3 years removed from FCS? And so is South Alabama. Like within the past 5 years, those two teams have been FCS transitional, now full-fledged FBS members.
I mean, if I remember correctly, Georgia State was a bowl team last year, but
Yeah.
a Sun Belt bowl team that isn't like Appalachian State doesn't impress me.
Well, they're now not in Sunbelt anymore, are they?
Georgia State?
No, App State.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, I thought they moved on. I was going to say Arkansas State or Troy, but your point's valid. It's still exactly the same thing. So, they're fine, but it's like, just say something. It's like, why are you just clamming up and not doing a thing?
Exactly.
And so, all right, so let's move on to the next part of it, which is kind of, we alluded to before. There was a guy, Colorado, and Kyle Lyle. Is that correct? How you say his name?
That would be Kelly Lyle.
Kelly Lyle. Why did I say Kyle? I don't know. Whatever. Sorry. So, apologies. Here's the thing. He had a question to, I think it was towards Craig Thompson. I think it was, wasn't it? I
It
want
was,
I want
yeah, something like that.
to basically, I'll skip the question because that's more important. He basically said, is it better for the conference to have one team that's just super dominant, 12-0, 13, 14-0 through the regular season, wins a conference title game, just to cruise by winning with ease, or to be better to have a bunch of more competitive games in November where you may or may not have an undefeated team? It's pretty obvious, right? It's the former.
Yes. To borrow a phrase from the immortal Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last.
Yes, and if you want to compete, like say you're better than American, you got to have the team in that bowl game to beat.
Exactly.
And if you look at like going over the past couple of years, like people don't care that the Mountain West has had multiple 3+ 10 win teams. Who cares? You're still playing at the Nova Arizona Bowl. You're playing in the Cactus Bowl. Nobody cares if you're in those bowl games, really. Nobody watches a ton, a decent amount of people, but if you want to respect, like Boise State last year crushing Oregon. Who cared about that game? Oregon had a new coach. It wasn't playing for much. Boise tried to stay ranked, but if you go over the past couple of years, they're winning games. Like 10, the league has shown they can win 10+ games multiple teams over. So, I don't want to say it's a dumb question. I get the point he was saying, but the way he phrased it was pretty poor, I thought. Also, had the Rams been the front and center team to be like what Boise State is this year, would he be asking that question?
That's a good question.
Last
I
year.
mean, think about this. The last time that the Mountain West sent a team to, the New Year's Six Day Bowl, right, was 2014.
It's been a while.
Do you know how many 10-win teams the Mountain West had in 2014?
No, tell me. I have last year, which is three.
They had four.
Four.
Coincidentally enough, that was the year when all four 10-win teams were in the Mountain Division. Boise State went 12-2, Colorado State went 10-3, Utah State went 10-4, Air Force went 10-3. You can have both.
Yeah, that's my point. You can have both, yes.
And I laid that out on Twitter, and I wish I had that tweet storm in front of me.
Oh
But
boy.
essentially, I was just, but essentially, I was trying to make the argument that if the top teams in the conference, reach like their 90th percentile, if they play at their peaks all year long, and for the sake of argument, in this case, I referred to Boise State, Fresno State, San Diego State. What you end up with, in the best case scenario, and this is the one I laid out on Twitter, Boise State runs the table. They go undefeated. Fresno State, they win the division. They go into the championship game with one loss. So basically, in their season, their two losses are both against Boise State, right? San Diego State loses to Fresno, so they don't get to the championship, but they're still a 10-win team, right?
Well, what? No, they'd actually be. Yeah, they could be 10-2 if they beat Stanford and only lose to Boise and Fresno.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying. So, you have an undefeated Boise, probably your New Year's Day bowl game, right? You have, Fresno probably going to Vegas. You have San Diego State. I don't know where they end up at the bowl game. So, but you assume that all three of those teams win their bowl games, which, by the way, if it wasn't for a couple of insane army drives last year,
Yeah.
that would have been the case last year, where you have three 10-win teams, all of whom win their bowl games. But I think in that case, what you end up with or at least what you should end up with. I don't know how the voters would actually, vote in this instance. But that's a situation where you end up with three top 25 teams, which is kind of what, Lyle was trying to argue for, was the fact that, the Mountain West used to put, that many teams in the top 25. And yeah, it happened once, but, I think that was the same year, I think it was 2011, if I'm not mistaken, where TCU went to, guess what, a BCS game.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't 2011. I think it was 2009.
Is it the Rose Bowl year? Was that the year?
I think so, yeah. I'm trying to pull it up real quick.
But
it was 2009 where TCU, BYU, and Utah all ended up in the top 20.
There was a game. I was at the game. TCU, Utah, two top 10 teams. TCU just rolled the floor with Utah. Two top 10 teams.
That was the year that TCU ended up losing the Fiesta Bowl to Boise State.
Oh, that was that year. Sorry. I apologize. But still, two top 10 teams in the Mountain West. Just saying. It can happen. But his point...
And guess what? All those teams beat very good teams in non-conference play.
Mm-hmm.
TCU ended up running the table in conference play. BYU only lost the one game to TCU. Utah only lost their games to BYU and TCU. So it is possible. It takes a lot of things to go right.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to sacrifice one to have the other.
Yeah, it's like, I get his point. It's like, his question, execution was lacking, I think, in this case.
Yes.
Like, his thought process was there, but he didn't word it the right way. His point was like, well, would you want 5-10 win teams? Yeah, but you're not the ACC or SEC where you're still going to get recognition if you're 10-3.
And by the way, I don't think that has literally ever happened in the Mountain West.
5-10 win teams?
Yeah, they've had four, but not five.
I know, I'm just putting it out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have four, even three, nobody cares. Unless if you're from these leagues and you don't go to a big game, who cares, right? That's what comes down to. It wraps everything together with the thing before that was asked about how would you promote the league better. Well, we have ranked teams. We have draft picks. We've gone to this many bowl game, big-time bowl games. We've won most of them, lost only one. And, by the way, it's pitted against the WAC Boise State team that year. But it's...
And by the way, we've waxed the floor with the American in the last few years.
Oh yeah,
in the bowl games,
Cincinnati, Houston twice. San Jose State had a commanding first quarter lead over South Florida last year in the opener.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. I don't know. Let me ask you this real quick, since we're on topic. Could there be a fourth 10-win team this year in the conference?
I'm going to say there's a non-zero chance of that. I think it's going to involve probably a couple of upsets in non-conference play. But, if we're looking for 10 win teams in the conference, to kind of go back to the projected order of finish thing, I don't think you can discount Colorado State and Utah State.
Those are the only two I was looking at. So,
But that's just me.
Okay. All right. Was there anything else? There's one other thing I mentioned. What was the last thing I was going to talk about? Or did we hit it all? Oh, expansion. Right. Should we talk about that for a quick sec?
Let's do it.
So, if you didn't watch, Craig Thompson said, that Gonzaga thing really got in front of us. Matt, can you explain to me how it got in front of everybody?
I believe I can explain that with the famed DJ Khaled gif, congratulations, you played yourself.
Craig Thompson, you're the dummy who talked about it to everybody. Whoever would listen to you, you talked to him about it. It's your fault that it got out in the public as much publicity it received. So, who's talking to him to say, hey, come on, say this? Or is he just doing it himself?
I mean, expansion talk is always interesting, but, are they still more concerned with trying to beef up the basketball side of things? Or are they trying to add a 13th team for football?
Sort of both. He mentioned it's basically on pause. But he said there's like the 12 team, like they meet frequently for various reasons, for TV stuff and this.
Mm-hmm.
But the basketball side, the 12 team is an option. And here's the thing, like, had things gone perfectly, which they never do, they probably could have Wichita State, Gonzaga, and BYU for 14 basketball teams and still have 12 football teams. That league would be probably better than the Pac-12, better than the American, better than the A-10, better than the Big East. Because BYU is still pretty good in basketball. They've won 20-plus games. Gonzaga, top 10 teams. Nevada this year, Wichita State, really good. But no, they don't go that route. So they're still looking at 12-team. But he also threw out the Nuggets. We wouldn't be opposed to adding a 13th football member. So to do like what UMass did with the MAC, where there's 13 teams for all of football. To me, that leads to the thinking New Mexico State. Because that's the only team out west that plays both sports. They're a current independent in football. That's the only team, like, if you're going to have 13 teams for football, that's, like, the only team that makes outside of UTEP, but UTEP hasn't been great the past while.
And that's an interesting thought. And, you know, I'm not unopposed to expansion if things break right. I know a lot of people don't feel that way. You know, why bother adding a team like New Mexico State? Mm-hmm. I think it's all going to depend on the sustained success that the Aggies can have on the football field, because you know they made a lot of noise by making it to a bowl game for the first time since like the 60s
and
last
winning.
Year
and winning
and
too.
Winning mm-hmm. You know, they signed their head coach to a contract extension, they secured a bowl agreement with the Arizona Bowl
sort of where
if the Mountain West doesn't have a team, you know, they will go back to Tucson for that. And, you know, when they showed up last year, they showed up, to their credit. But, you know, is it going to be a one-year wonder kind of thing? Or, you know, heading into a really crucial time in their program's history, you know, are they going to be able to, you know, stay on top of things? Are they going to be able to sustain success? Because, you know, as far as I know, and you can correct me on this, they've always had a pretty good basketball team. So that helps, right?
Yeah, it does. So that's why maybe they could, because they're independent football, bring them in basketball and other sports for a while. But I don't know.
If they can sustain success on the football side of things, then it becomes very interesting. But that's a big if.
Yeah, they, like you said, one bowl game in 60 years, essentially.
Yeah.
And then also New Mexico's going to fight hard to not let that happen.
That's also true.
But it's just the funny thing about it is, like, they're not going to expand anytime soon. It could, some options could be down the road. I still think Gonzaga could come over in a couple of years once they realize the new West Coast scheduling deal for fewer conference games, bigger share, may not be all what it's cracked up to be. Because if you added two games, are they really going to add, like, Duke and North Carolina every year? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, something amazing team, top 10 team to help their SOS. They don't need it. It's not, they're not hurting to find a seed in the NCAA tournament. And I get the Mountain West, they may slip up one or two more times, but they can still get a top four seed if they're losing like five total games to like Nevada, San Diego State, and whatever non-conference tough slate they put together against, like, who knows, Tennessee or Arizona or, you know, UCLA. So, but the funny thing was, like, it got so out there in front of it. You talked to Mark Ziegler from the Union Tribune, like, day one, you talked to him at the Final Four. You blabbed your mouth before the meeting with the WCC guy, who's like, what are you talking about? We haven't, our meeting scheduled in like 3 or 4 days. You're saying it's not going to happen? Keep your mouth shut, dude. How hard is it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I got on expansion thing. I thought that was interesting because he made it seem like, how did this happen? Well, look in the mirror, buddy. Anything else? Are we good? Any other tidbits we need to discuss? I know we had the Rams scrimmage. Is that something important we should talk about for a half second?
Yeah, why not?
Who's your quarterback, Matt? Is it Colin Hill? Did he ask me this, or tell the audience, Matt, did Colin Hill take any snaps in the scrimmage over the weekend?
I don't think he did.
Did he throw a pass? No, he did not. Looking at full, let me double check. I'm pulling, I should have asked you more closely before, or looked more closely. Full scrimmage stats, he did not throw a pass.
Okay.
So he's not going to play week one against Hawaii, right?
I would doubt it.
So here's a couple things we noted from there. Like, it's, in a quarterback race, Curtis Samuels looks really good. So does Justice McCoy. But as we were talking before, you still think it's Curtis Samuels, right? To be under center week one or week zero?
I've kind of thought all along that Curtis Samuels might be the exception to my skepticism about, you know, transfer quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, Marcus McMurray did pretty good for you, too.
That's true.
Defrosting that thought. I think it's going to be Curtis Samuels. Rashard Boddy's back, after his practice suspension, a couple of TDs. Who's Warren Jackson? I haven't heard of that receiver. Is he going to be a big deal?
You might remember him as the guy who caught multiple touchdowns against Alabama last year.
I had to think. Okay, that makes sense.
And I'm just going to put this out there, you know, because I talked about how I'm optimistic about CSU.
Mm-hmm.
I was very close to putting him on my top 50.
Ooh.
Because and I ultimately couldn't pull the trigger. He was one of the last people I left out. But, you know, he's, you know, not only is he a big dude, I think he's like 6'5" or something like that. You know, we talked about him a little bit in the Colorado State preview, maybe not enough. You know, because, you know, old BC Johnson is the guy that everybody knows because, you know, he's their leading returning receiver. I think Warren Jackson is going to give a lot of cornerbacks headaches in the Mountain West this year. And it wouldn't surprise me if he goes over 1,000 yards. And maybe more so than, you know, Preston Williams, who we mentioned earlier, and Johnson. You know, I think Jackson's going to be kind of that next guy up who can be the big performing dude like a Rashard Higgins and a Michael Gallup.
So he's going to be, you think he's their number two guy then, ahead of the transfers and Obasi Johnson?
I think when all is said and done, he's going to be their number one receiver.
Ooh, because Johnson didn't play or didn't catch a pass in the scrimmage.
Yeah, I think he was.
Oh, no, yes. Oh, there he is. No, sorry.
Or, yeah.
Two, sorry. I looked at it wrong. I thought he had initials or something. But I need some glasses, I think, and I can't read this PDF very well today. So that's a Rams scrimmage. Nothing new on Hawaii front too much because they're still trying to figure out if Cole McDonald's going to be the quarterback in their run and shoots. Oh, we should note, Wyoming at, because we talked about New Mexico State, Wyoming at New Mexico State, ESPN2 game.
Very nice. Very nice.
So you have that game on ESPN2, CSU Hawaii on CBS Sports Network. Boom. And also, Utah State, you are the home of Facebook football.
Not a bad thing, I don't think.
It's not a bad thing, but it's funny when fans, Utah State fans, try to spin it as the best thing in the world.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I would be that optimistic, but, you know, I always say the free is good. And so if you give me the option between, like I said, paying for, you know, $5 a month for ESPN Plus or, you know, making it available for free on a platform that I already use probably way too much as it is,
yeah.
I'm going to take free every single time. And, you know, I wish I had looked this up beforehand, but, you know, how many likes does Utah State have on Facebook?
Like their football program or the university or...
Yeah, I'm going to try and look this up real quick.
They mentioned that like one of the games had 4 million reach.
And so I think that, you know, even if some casual fans are only going to be tuning in for a little bit, you know, I saw a bunch of the games last year and I didn't really have a problem with all the bells and whistles. You know, if you blow it up to full screen, most of them disappear anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they have 14,000 likes, the football team does, on
Facebook.
On Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know how many followers they have on Twitter, but it's very easy to get the word out on something like this. It's very accessible. You know, it's mobile friendly, which I think helps. You don't have to pay for it.
35,767 on Twitter.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, if you're a program, especially if you're a program on the rise looking to generate interest, you know, this is a very easy way to get more eyeballs on the team.
It is. I wasn't saying it's a bad thing, but for them, I put it this way. I know Facebook doesn't pay for these rights, so Utah State's technically getting more money per game when they're on ESPN or CBS than any other team in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But it's just kind of funny where it's like, oh, it's great. Kick times are great because Brian Harsin wants noon every weekend. Kick times are great. It's great for fans. I'm just saying it's like if you're the casual fan flipping around, you're not going to find the game because it's on Facebook. You know what I mean? That's my only kind of gripe where you're on 5 games of 7 where it's like how easy is it for somebody to find your games if it's not like on your flip around the half dozen ESPN channels or CBS or Fox Sports that are all in that little grouping online on your cable box or streaming device.
Well, if you're a degenerate like me, you've got one game on the TV, one game on the laptop, one game on the phone, and one game on the tablet anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's why I wish there was a 4-screen ESPN now. They got rid of that, dummies. But you're the exception to the rule. They want more people to watch than not watch, obviously. And yeah. So they want people, oh, Utah State's playing this team. Cool, how do we watch it? It's on Watch Stadium or it's on Facebook. It's just when half their games are on at that time, it's not hard, but it's not convenient either.
Yeah, I agree to disagree.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but for them to overreact to say it's awesome, it's not awesome. It's fine. It's good. It is free. It's really not that hard to find it. But you give me the choice between Facebook or ESPN, I'd rather be on ESPN, right?
No ads on Facebook.
Sure, but then you gotta hear the guys jabber the whole time trying to make time.
Yeah.
Fill time.
I'm so, a little less concerned about that.
I sympathize with those guys talking for 4 straight hours, essentially.
Yeah.
So, are we good? Anything else we need to chat about? Do we need to... How are we going to podcast the rest of the way? Because we need to do news shows occasionally, too. How's that going to work out?
That's a good question.
Is this offline discussion not to bore the people with?
Probably, okay. Yeah.
I just threw it at you right now. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm doing this. So, all right, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You'll have a double dose podcast on this if you listen this week. Probably maybe more. We'll see how later today goes. But check us out, MWR.com, Facebook, Twitter. We're almost are we at 2,000 Twitter followers yet, Matt? Are we close?
We are very close. Last I checked, we're at 1975.
Oh, nope, 1976. So give us 24 more likes or follows, whatever you call it on Twitter. We want to improve our Facebook reach. We do some Instagram stuff from time to time, but follow us everywhere. Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, we're everywhere for podcasts can be found. So let your friends know. And there is a small chance, I will say this now. I won't, because if I say it now and I don't do it, people get mad at me. So just stay tuned for some podcast stuff coming forth. Perhaps I've done a year or two ago. Maybe, maybe not. But this has been our, Media Day news wrap-up. And listen to this one, as you obviously are at the moment. But also go back. We've done 9, maybe 10, depending on who you're listening, team previews. Go back and listen to those two, folks. Tell us what you think. So until next time.